Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How to Stop Being a Narcissist: Real and Proven Strategies to Change Narcissistic or Manipulative Behavior, and Stop Sabotaging as a Self-Help Guide by Eric Parks, aimed at readers who recognize narcissistic, controlling, or manipulative patterns in themselves and want a structured way to change them. The book sits in the practical psychology and relationship repair category rather than informal clinical diagnosis. Its stated purpose is twofold: to make narcissistic behavior more understandable for people who enact it, and to encourage accountability, therapy, coaching, or group work rather than denial. Parks frames narcissism through concepts such as narcissistic injury, childhood emotional neglect, emotional dysregulation, defense mechanisms, control, compulsive lying, triggers, and shadow work. The emphasis is not on labeling people as hopelessly disordered, but on clarifying the emotional mechanisms that lead to harm. The book also speaks indirectly to survivors of narcissistic abuse by naming abusive patterns and validating the damage they cause. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, narcissistic injury as a trigger for defensive behavior. A central idea in the book is that narcissistic behavior often intensifies when a person experiences criticism, rejection, shame, or perceived disrespect as a deep threat to self-worth. Parks uses the concept of narcissistic injury to explain why relatively ordinary conflicts can produce disproportionate reactions such as rage, withdrawal, blame shifting, contempt, or attempts to regain control. The practical value of this framing is that it shifts attention from surface behavior to the moment of emotional injury beneath it. A person who only sees the outburst may focus on apologizing afterward without understanding why the same pattern returns. By identifying the injury point, the reader can begin to notice the internal sequence: threat, shame, panic, defense, harm. This does not excuse abusive conduct, but it makes it more observable and therefore more changeable. The book treats awareness of narcissistic injury as an early step toward interrupting automatic reactions before they become manipulation, punishment, or emotional escalation. Secondly, childhood emotional neglect and inner child work as root cause exploration. The book connects narcissistic and manipulative behavior to earlier emotional wounds, especially childhood emotional neglect and unmet needs for validation, safety, and attunement. Parks presents inner child healing as a way to examine the vulnerable parts of the self that may be hidden behind grandiosity, defensiveness, or emotional distance. This approach matters because narcissistic patterns are often maintained by a refusal to feel weakness, dependence, or shame. If a reader can recognize that control and superiority may be compensations for old insecurity, the behavior becomes less mysterious, but still remains the reader's responsibility to change. The book does not position childhood pain as a blanket explanation for harming others. Rather, it frames early wounds as material that must be understood so the person stops reenacting them in adult relationships. This topic gives the guide a more compassionate tone than purely punitive discussions of narcissism, while still emphasizing that remorse needs to become behavioral accountability rather than self-pity. Thirdly, emotional dysregulation, triggers, an overreaction in daily conflict. Parks gives significant attention to emotional dysregulation, the difficulty of staying grounded when strong feelings rise quickly. In the context of narcissistic behavior, dysregulation can turn disappointment into accusation, insecurity into interrogation, or discomfort into domination. The book discusses recognizing triggers and managing reactions in the moment, including the need to pause before responding and to separate present conflict from older emotional wounds. This is a practical focus because many harmful patterns occur before the person has consciously chosen them. A partner asks a question, a boundary is set, or a mistake is mentioned, and the response becomes defensive or punitive almost instantly. By treating triggers as predictable signals rather than surprises, the reader can build a gap between emotion and action. The book also addresses overreacting, which is important because apologies after repeated emotional explosions rarely rebuild trust unless the underlying regulation problem is addressed. The goal is not emotional suppression, but more accurate perception and less destructive response. Fourthly, defense mechanisms, compulsive lying, and the shadow self. Another important strand of the book is its focus on psychological defenses, including the ways people protect themselves from shame by distorting, denying, minimizing, projecting, or rationalizing their behavior. Parks reportedly discusses multiple defense mechanisms and links them to the difficulty narcissistic individuals may have in admitting fault. This is especially relevant to compulsive lying, because lying is not treated only as a moral failure, but also as a defensive strategy that protects image, control, or avoidance of consequences. The book offers a step-based approach to reducing compulsive lying, which aligns with its broader emphasis on making hidden patterns explicit. Shadow work is presented as a related practice confronting parts of the self that are disowned because they feel unacceptable, The usefulness of this section is that it helps readers see why insight alone is insufficient. A person can intellectually know that honesty is better while still reflexively protecting the false self. Change requires repeated confrontation with the defenses that block truth. Lastly, letting go of control and reducing dependence on external validation, the book repeatedly returns to control as a core relationship problem. Narcissistic behavior often attempts to manage other people through pressure, guilt, intimidation, charm, withdrawal, or selective truth. Parks frames change as learning to tolerate uncertainty, trust life more, and stop making other people responsible for stabilizing self-worth. This includes attention to social media and the way public approval, comparison, and image management can reinforce fragile self-esteem. The book is practical here because it links internal insecurity with outward behavior if self-worth depends on admiration or obedience. Relationships become arenas for regulation rather than mutual connection. Letting go of control, therefore, means more than being less demanding. It requires accepting that other people have separate thoughts, boundaries, emotions, and choices. The implication is that relationship repair cannot be achieved by better persuasion or more polished apologies. It depends on reducing the need to dominate outcomes and developing enough internal stability to handle disagreement, disappointment, and limits without retaliation. In conclusion, How to Stop Being a Narcissist is best suited for readers who already suspect that their behavior has harmed partners, relatives, friends, or coworkers, and who want a non-technical but direct framework for change. It may also be useful for survivors or observers of narcissistic abuse, who want a clearer view of the internal mechanisms behind manipulation, although the book is primarily aimed at the person trying to stop the behavior. Its practical benefit lies in organizing difficult material into recognizable themes: narcissistic injury, emotional neglect, triggers, defenses, compulsive lying, control, and validation seeking. Readers can use these ideas to prepare for therapy, coaching, support groups, or more honest conversations about accountability. The book stands out from many narcissism titles because it addresses the person with narcissistic traits as a possible agent of change rather than only describing the damage done to others. At the same time, its realistic value depends on the reader's willingness to accept responsibility and seek deeper support when needed. It should not be treated as a substitute for clinical diagnosis or professional treatment, but as a structured starting point for self-examination. In a crowded self-help category, its differentiator is the combination of compassion for the struggling person with repeated attention to the relational harm that must stop. If you would like to support Eric Parks, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.